problems we'd all like to have way too much cash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Who would want a mountain of extra cash on hand? Think of the headaches. Poor Apple has a $137 billion mountain of cash, and one of its big investors is suing to get Apple to stop saving it for a rainy day and to give the extra profit back to investors. The company's response to the hedge fund lawsuit is expected today, Sally Herships reports.
You would think rewarding shareholders would be an easy call, but Apple has a reputation for being conservative with its cash.
I think that it goes back to its days when it was struggling in the PC space 10 or 15 years ago.
Brian Colello is an equity analyst with Morningstar. He says because Apple's stock price has declined, investors want to be rewarded in other ways. Hedge fund manager David Einhorn sued the company. He wants Apple to issue something called preferred shares, a kind of stock that pays regular dividends.
And the shareholders, particularly Einhorn, are saying, we would like more of that back because you don't need it. And your business is going to keep generating cash.
Steve Kaplan teaches finance at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business.
And I think Apple's response is, we're starting to give you the cash back.
In the past year, Apple has returned $10 billion to shareholders through dividends and stock buybacks. It's pledged to give back another $35 billion in the next 2 years. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Apple's CEO Tim Cook called the shareholder lawsuit a, quote, silly sideshow. His comment came at a big technology and internet conference in New York Tuesday, full of institutional investors, venture capitalists, and the media. The bloom has been off the Apple in recent months amid fears that iPhone sales are drooping and that the company might be diluting its brand with too many products. Cook needed to do some fancy talking. The Guardian's U.S. finance and economics editor Heidi Moore is a familiar voice on Marketplace and was listening to Cook's pitch.
Tim Cook, who's known for having a pretty flat affect, was speaking in these lyrical terms. How when he goes to an Apple store and he's depressed, all of a sudden it's like Prozac. It just lifts him up. And it was pretty funny, but it was also pretty interesting because he has to make a really strong case for his company right now. A lot of the guys in that audience are investors. They think in terms of money, in terms of profit and loss, and here he's making an argument about how much people should have a spiritual element of their engagement with Apple, and that's why the company is worth something.
Following Cook's presentation, Apple shares closed down 2.5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to creative people and creative companies at powerofideas.org. Personal finance reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at allybank.com.
How did you hear the news the Pope's quitting? Chances are technology was involved. Here are pals Alana and Amy Jo in New York.
It was on a TV screen in the back seat of the taxi.
I read it on Perez Hilton.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Your source for ecclesiastical updates, the gossip site Perez Hilton. But what was the technology to bear the news the last time a pope resigned, Gregory XII in the 15th century, at the end of the Great Schism? Michael Sizer has a background in medieval studies and teaches history at MICA in Baltimore.
Obviously, this is before the printing press, and this is before the widespread dissemination of pamphlets and books.
The Gutenberg press, before the innovation of movable type, that's mid-century, around 1450.
1453 is the date that we usually affix to the Gutenberg.
So that's decades later, and so the Pope resigns. And how does that news get around?
Well, so the Council of Constance was a pretty major church council that was handling the papal schism most of all, but also handling heretical movements. Institutions had agents there who were eager to spin information and to report back to their superiors in order to strategize.
So those agents blogged about it and...
Well, and the way that they did that was they either went in person, they sent ambassadors to the various interested parties, and they would send letters with messengers, and messengers would would go on horseback, obviously.
Well, tell me about that. A single letter, how does that get to more than a handful of folks?
Well, the letter gets carried to a particular place, let's say Paris, and then it would be read in council meetings. It could be copied if it was meant for dissemination, and you had copy centers.
There was a technological development, actually an import of technology that made the copying, even though it was by hand, a little bit more widespread. It was something about paper, right?
So in the early Middle Ages, and most of the writing was done on expensive manuscript paper made from animal hide. When access to Asia was opened up after the Mongol invasions in the 13th, 14th centuries, the West got the technology of paper, cheap paper, and so writing became much more disposable. Because paper was cheap at this time, people didn't feel any kind of financial restraint about copying things down.
Michael Sizer is a professor of history in the Department of Humanistic Studies at the Maryland Institute College of Art. Professor Sizer, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And this fall marks the 75th anniversary of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast that caused people coast to coast to freak, believing the drama was real. The question becomes whether people would fall for something like that today. No way, my friends argue. People are so media literate, you'd never fool them now. Well, a test case. Hackers this week got into the computers of a Montana TV station and put out a fake emergency broadcast alert warning of a zombie attack.
Civil authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living. Follow the messages on screen that will be updated as information becomes available.
Fake, 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 fakety fake, right? Yet, here in 2013, some alarmed viewers called Channel 3 in Great Falls just to check if zombies were attacking. I suppose it never hurts to check. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
1981. Not quite morning in America, but life here was a whole lot better than it was on the other side.
People who grew up the way they did in the Soviet Union, the way almost everybody did in the Soviet Union, which was essentially a very poor country, it would be heaven.
I'm Kai Ryssdal, the new cable show, The Americans, and the economics behind Cold War fears, next time on Marketplace from APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.